Hey everybody, Eduardo here. Right now there is a fly in my studio about the size of one of those Secreta Nim rodents, like Nicodemus or something like that, but it is a big-ass fly, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, today's show is sponsored by Brush. Brush is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the Brush redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist. A fresh whole mouth clean every single day. Our listeners get 15% off their total purchase with code POD15. Follow the link in our show notes at timespentpoorly.com and enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral care routine today.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
Every once in a while, I like to have my TV hold me captive to whatever happens to be on the TV.
I can get behind that. I can sympathize with that.
Like something
where you will wind up watching like World's Wildest Party Videos 17,
or yeah, just like, something.
And you're like, okay, whatever. That bitch just lit her hair on fire.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show, better than anyone we've done before or anything we could do afterward in the history of the program. You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo and Brother Ron!
All right, welcome to the show. I am your host, Eduardo, and here next to me, to my left, is Brother Ron joining me. It's just the two of us. We're going to start a sitcom together and adopt a small child to raise together as two dads.
Which one of us would be the straight man, and which one would be the comic
relief? Oh no, we're gonna both be totally straight.
I don't mean that. I mean like, if we're an odd couple, which one of us is the straight man, and which one is the comic
relief? Oh.
No.
Not that there's anything wrong.
Just two straight dudes married, living on each other's insurance.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That's a good premise. You couldn't do that. That's like a '70s show. That was like, wasn't that Bosom Buddies?
It was, but I'll get to it after the intro. But have you seen this new show from Chuck Lorre on CBS, The United States of Al?
No.
Okay. I haven't seen the show, but I've seen a couple commercials, and the premise is very interesting.
Oh. you know, what do you think about Chuck Lorre and his shows?
I think he knows how to appeal to the absolute lowest common denominator. Like he knows how to make something.
He has tapped into a vein that is
remarkable.
It's just making
the broad spectrum of people that like Two and a Half Men and The Big Bang Theory. Like,
yeah, or Mom.
And it's amazing because there are so many people that they are the last fucking person that you would peg to like whichever one of those shows. Like, they're a really wholesome person, but they love Two and a Half Men.
Right, because it's their little dirty secret.
One of those people who's proud of never having seen Star Trek, but they watch Big Bang Theory. Like, I don't know. It's strange to me.
I initially, when that Big Bang Theory came out, we watched it for a handful of years, but then at a certain point, it just started to feel like it was just recycling the plot, and it got tired. And so
My mom watched a lot of it, and so I consequently would catch some from her. And I...
The Young Sheldon show is actually decent, but I can't get on board. I have a hard time getting on board with it because I'm like, okay, but this kid's supposed to grow up into the character that annoys me.
The promos just for that show, maybe I'm not...
There's actually... So it's got kind of a Wonder Years-ish... type of a
the feel commercial to it. The commercials make me want to hit that kid. I can only imagine how the show would make me feel. Probably escalate from hitting him with my fist to hitting it's him with my car.
It's the supporting cast, I think, that's what makes it good.
Well, that's what really helped Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, because you didn't have to like one individual.
I understand that everybody liked Sheldon so much, but the ensemble of that show was the reason why, you know, much like a lot of the other sitcoms that have that level of success that it had or has, rather. Right. It's the ensemble. It's never just one person.
Yeah. Well,
sitcoms that skate by on one person's credibility get talked about well, but not in the same vein as like your Seinfelds and your Friends and Big Bang Theory, you know,
that kind of. Well, and it's a character build, it's the world building as the series goes on,
yeah,
that makes them
worth
it.
I never understood. It was like the entire premise was that you were supposed to sympathize with and love the nerds, but they were also the butt of the joke,
right?
But they were also making the joke. I don't know. It was contextually, it really confused me a lot.
Well, it's like, who's going to tell the joke? It's like when one person writes a script, but all the characters are written through the lens of that one person. Like, they can't write women, and they write like 17 different characters, but all 17 characters are too similar to one another that it's...
Yeah. You try to make a movie where every character is the comic relief and it winds up.
Right. The version that you see yourself as.
Yeah. That nobody is. And I don't know. But they're some of the biggest sitcoms of the current / like, you know, if you include 2 and a Half Men and Big Bang Theory, like most recent.
There's not
wave of
in a room of 10 people.
They're huge.
Ten of those people know what those shows are, or more.
I don't even like them, and I've seen handfuls of episodes of all of them, just because they're fucking always there.
Yeah, be a syndication or
only
whatever.
So much you can do. Yeah, right. When TBS plays 3 hours straight,
I can't change the channel right now.
I used to do that with Impractical Jokers. Man, I'd sit and watch on TBS.
Yeah.
Sit and watch 2 hours of Impractical Jokers straight.
There's something to be said.
For some reason, makes you laugh.
Yeah, well, every once in a while, I like to have my TV hold me captive to whatever happens to be on the TV.
I can get behind that. I can sympathize with that.
Like something
where you
will
wind up watching like World's Wildest Party Videos 17,
or yeah, just
like,
something.
And you're like, okay, whatever.
Just suddenly
that bitch just
in.
Lit her hair on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been there.
My son had me watch what was the one called? It was the Hoarders episode, and I'm not into Hoarders, but he had me watch this one where this lady was basically like filling her home full of like fecal matter.
Did we talk about that? Well, no, not on the show.
Oh, we've talked about it in the chat
before.
Oh man, Tori, so disturbing.
Has that beautiful, brilliant idea that she uses Hoarders to
feel
like
better,
motivate
like therapy.
Herself. She puts it on in the, you know, some people will be like, oh, I'll put on The Office in the background while I clean because it's a comfort show. No, she puts on Hoarders. Because she's like, yeah, I'm cleaning because I'm never going to be these people.
Yeah.
And apparently it works. So more power to her. But I've seen on that show.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah. Speaking of Hoarders, did a cleanse through my daughter's room this Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's probably been the first time in a good couple years. And so she's been, there's clothes that we were getting rid of that didn't fit her anymore, clothes that, and so we had to basically go through everything. And we had, you know, because we're great parents, we've let her take on the responsibility of putting her own stuff away and stuff. And she did a really good job for a while, but then it slowly like got out of control. And then we'd go in the room to tuck her in and I'd be like, oh, we got to do something about this.
Yeah.
And then I just put it off and put it off. But like her drawers were to the point where that she couldn't get them shut. So they're just like hanging open, like with heaping clothes in them. So the other day we ended up filling, and this is an indication that the kid has too many clothes, because we filled two like 55 gallon trash bags. Well, no, one. Damn. And then there was some, but there were some other ancillary things too that we got rid of.
I thought my kid had a lot of clothes.
Too many. Yeah. It's a lot. But there's probably stuff that's 2 to 3 years of not fitting that's just stayed in her room.
Okay, that's
not
fair.
Been rotated.
Because I went,
that's
I,
not
I
been
gonna,
cycled
I was
out.
Gonna say I did something similar for Annabelle's clothes last year.
Yeah, it's a real feeling of catharsis, and then the garbage. She was like my daughter is a what I discovered. She's like a sugar chipmunk because she hoards away all these little candy things all around her room. Like we just, you know, she had a bunch of Easter candy she had in one place. And then all of a sudden I pull open this backpack and I'm pulling out like handfuls of Jolly Ranchers from a pouch in the backpack. And I'm like,
just stuff that she hadn't gotten
just
to.
Just stuff that she hadn't gotten to. And she's just kind of stowing it away in these places. And it's all kind of all around. We ended up filling like kitchen garbage bags, like five of them, full of like garbage / toys that she'd outgrown or that didn't have like that weren't complete sets. I've come to terms with when I raised my boys, I would like hold parts to toys to the side. Like I'm like, oh, I know, like I can find the part to this. I'll find the part to this. So I'd set it to the side.
Oh, there was a time where I would tape stuff to Matthew's like big sets. Be like, okay, just all the little things get taped along the bottom here, and they stay there.
That's not a bad idea. But I finally gave up on it because I'm thinking, like, I'm doing all this work for maybe a $5 toy to complete it as a set. And
he knew he knew they were there, so, you know. Right. Well, and eventually you got to use them anyway because they're kids and they lose shit. It just happens.
So, yeah, we ended up, her room looks great now. But I feel kind of, one, like a bad parent, also like a hoarder because of all the stuff that we did end up getting rid of. Like, five garbage bags full of stuff is a little bit obscene. But,
you know, it. My kids still have Christmas presents that kind of have a home but don't have a home. If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're
like,
saying.
They get too much shit.
I
don't know how else to say it.
I think it's pretty common for most
and
kids.
I had the problem when I was a kid, too. It's a normal thing.
And you carry it with you to adulthood a lot of the time.
You fucking do.
And then you can't
hand a lot of it to your kids and then they start
in hopes that they'll and then they start collecting
behind,
their own. Right.
Because they start with I was like, oh no, these were all my Legos. Now they're yours. Where the fuck am I gonna put these?
Right. And then people still need to have that little bit of retail therapy, so then they're gonna buy their own stuff. Yeah. It's a vicious cycle.
My girlfriend's son has started collecting Funko Pops. And
yeah, we're a Funko Pop family, but I'm the one that quit long ago because I'm like
they're cool.
There's no end to how many I could collect because they just keep on making different.
They're really cool.
Ones
don't
that
get
I
me
like.
Wrong.
Oh yeah,
like
my son is collecting the Office ones, but then the Office keeps on coming out with new ones.
In terms of those kind of things, like. Your Funko Pops, your Furbies, your Beanie Babies, you know, those kind of collectibles.
Funko Pop has display value. You can put them out and
they're just, and maybe it's bias, but I also think that it's not bias because there are probably more Funko Pops that I don't give a shit about than there are ones that I'm like, oh, that's cool as shit.
Right.
You know, they have such a broad appeal.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was talking to him because he's super proud. He got this, I don't even remember what it is now. I think it was the Punisher or something, but he was super stoked about it. And it's like, yeah, dude. He's like, do you collect them? And I was like, no, I bought one.
It's hard.
It was called Drogo.
It's a slippery slope because if you like things like that, because we've got Ghostbusters, I've got Breaking Bad guys, and then it's like, well, where do I start? So I finally got to the point where I'm like, I'm done. I'll do, like, I've left myself open to the idea of accepting others along the way. And there's ones that I think of every once in a while. I'm like, if they make a pop of that, I will get it.
Remind me to circle back to Breaking Bad.
Yes.
I bought, it was, I think it was during season 2 of Game of Thrones airing that I bought the Khal Drogo one. Because I was like, dude, Khal Drogo is a great character. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
He and his little Funko Pop look really badass, and they had it at Hastings when I was up there buying stuff. And so I just got it.
Funko has an app.
And it's the only one I've ever bought.
Funko has an app that you can, because of like the lot, like how many they make of a certain one, because they do limited runs on stuff, and they didn't make a very many of the Hound. So I have the Hound, and probably, I'd say probably mint in the box, he's worth like $90.
Damn, really?
Something like that.
That's cool.
And I bought him I don't leave my shit in the box. If I'm going to get it out, I put it out.
When I bought stuff as a collector, I would buy two. I would buy one to play and one to keep.
In the box, yeah.
Like my Star Wars figures, that's what I did with and stuff. But
we did that with the Disney cars for my kids, so I could get, because they were really into cars. It was right during that time, and they were releasing all the die-cast metal Disney cars.
Yeah.
So we ended up, we bought them, and they played with them a bunch, and then like my wife started going and picking them up and like saving them in the package. So we have some like put away in a package to give to my kids when they're older. You all right?
Yeah, it's a beer makes me really, really gassy right now. I was talking to him, and the only thing I could really correlate it to that was a recent phenomenon that was like that was Beanie Babies that had that. And even Beanie Babies didn't have the across the board, like ubiquitous love that Funko has because
everybody can get into Beanie Babies.
Yeah. No matter what genre of fandom you fall into.
Yeah. For the most part. I mean, I'd say there's more or less. Hickey type guys in town here that probably aren't like picking up a Funko, but
there's more available than there are not.
I mean, right.
When you're seeing, again, office characters. We have three different Dwight Funkos because this one has him holding his stapler in a Jello. And
that's
this
my
one
son.
Has him
my son has to have like, all the variations all of the them. Variants. I'm like, oh, man. And like, he's going to run out of room. And he's a box keeper. He keeps the boxes. He'll take them out of the box to display them, but he's kept the boxes to put them back in.
The thing about him, and I learned this. It was one of the reasons I was really surprised my dad collected the Beanie Babies that he did, was because I learned everything that I know about collecting that kind of stuff from dad.
Oh yeah.
We had a really, really good friend of the family who, if I remember correctly, he went to high school with my grandpa, but he wound up pitching for the New York Yankees back in the 60s with Mickey Mantle and all of those guys. And so we knew a guy who, or our family knew a guy who was part of that stuff. So we got a lot of signed baseballs, signed bats, signed memorabilia and stuff like that from these kind of niche things. And anybody can go to Walmart and buy a Wolverine Funko Pop. There's no, like, you having the one that you have that's worth like $90, like even that speaks to like there's a level of rarity to them where it's I just if you're going to collect something, I feel like everything that you collect should have some kind of intrinsic value. Like,
yeah,
I don't just have this because I've got 327 Funkos. Okay, well, which ones do you have? Well, you know, like, no, I have this one because they only made 14 of them.
Right.
I have this one because Ryan Reynolds signed it and it's a Deadpool one. You know, like that's where I see collecting as lying. It's one of the reasons I've been looking into, I think we talked about it on a previous show about Russell Crowe auctioning off a bunch of his movie memorabilia.
Yeah.
But
it's funny because last week tonight, John Oliver bought up a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
And gave it to the Blockbuster.
Gave it to the Blockbuster thing. Yeah. 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 Well, I saw a thing here just this last week with Annihilation, the Natalie Portman movie.
Yeah.
That was really, really good. Did you see it?
I want to say that's one I fell asleep on, not because it wasn't good.
Did you see the Monster Bear?
I don't know.
So that was on a prop auction
here. Oh, really?
Recently, like that.
No, I didn't.
That
no.
part, like you, and it was all built so that you could climb into it and stuff. And I was like, man, that would. They only wanted $175 for it at the time.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure that it probably went up by then.
Oh, sure.
But when you see the money that some people spend on their Halloween decorations for their house and stuff, if you had, like, say, going up to your front door, you walk up the steps and the door is in front of you, but there's a little bit of off space next to it, you could build some kind of cool contraption to use this genuine Hollywood-built, really awesome, freaky fucking demon bear thing.
Yeah.
They come up to your door and like it's I don't know. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. No.
Totally understand collecting. Just buying them to amass. I have 500 Funko Pops. Okay.
Yeah. That's that was why I ended up ultimately drawing a line. Because it's like I like that show. I like that show. I like that. It's like, do I have to have them all though? Like we bought the here's an example of a couple, like I bought some, like we bought some Mad Men Funkos, but I don't want the whole, like, I don't need the whole cast of Mad Men.
Everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
We bought the Tombstone ones that they released.
I didn't even know there were Tombstone ones.
Yeah. They released those last year. And those were like, and then I think Nicole got, she got like the Godfather character. She got Fredo.
No.
Marlon Brando's character, and she basically got all the
Corleone.
She got the brothers and the dad.
Yeah,
I don't know if they made more than that, but I mean, I can't see getting like every single one of a line that comes out because it seems almost an impossible feat, especially with something like The Office. I mean, bless my son for wanting to try to like amass them all, but at the
cool.
same time he's got the
they used to have I'd have to look on here and see if I could find them, but they used to release these South Park characters that were like action figures. And I bought, they looked like, let's see, I'll hold it up to the camera here so it can maybe, it's too bright.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
They were kind of like Funko Pops before Funko Pops were a thing. And they sold them at Hastings. You could find them online, which is where I found some of mine. But I bought a lot of them. And you want to know where they are now? They're sitting in a box in the upper shelf of my son's closet.
Yeah.
And there's probably four boys. There's probably between $200 and $250 worth of figures.
Yeah.
If you factor in what I spent on them when I bought them.
Right.
Mr.
Well,
Hanky, all the boys, Mr. Garrison, Chef, all the, I mean, you know,
it's keeping in the package. I bought a bunch of the Kevin Smith Clerks Dogma, like when he was doing those like in action figures.
Yeah.
I bought a ton of those. And we ended up boxing, like I kept them in the package, and I had, and forever I had them on my wall. Like I had them displayed on my wall.
Yeah.
Like tacked up and shit. But they're in a tote right now.
Right.
And have been for probably 10 years. Yeah. Because I don't, like, I'm a 41-year-old man. I don't have a wall to put them on. And also, if I had a wall to put them on and I had, like, company over, then I have to explain myself. Like, I don't have kids.
I don't even so much look at it like that as I look at it like, if I had the wall space to put them there, there are so many other things I would put there before them.
Well, there's that too.
That's,
yeah.
That's my big issue.
Yeah.
Is not even the, yeah, I'd have to explain it because I.
It's, they're almost like, because
if you were
there's
to.
There's blank wall up there, but it's aesthetically pleasing not to have anything on it.
If you, and maybe this speaks volumes to how old we're getting,
yeah,
and the fact that we're like in the dad homeowner mentality, but like if you had a room that was designed as like a media room, like, oh no, this is where we have the pull down projector,
yeah,
and our nice setup seating and whatnot, and you know, we have movie posters that are hung up and framed in the room, and you know, then that's where you take those action figures and
yeah,
put them out. And that kind of
thing. Like a theme-based room.
Yeah, yeah. If it fits the aesthetic, right, of the room, but you're not 19 anymore.
Right.
So you don't just have your bedroom with your bed in a corner and your computer in the other corner and some posters of chicks with their tits out.
I think you spend your 20s still pining to, like, do your own decorating, because I remember being in my 20s and I wanted, like, my dream was to have a house that had, like, a house big enough that would support a theater room. I wanted a theater room forever.
That's my plan. That's
you. So you want a theater room?
I love you dearly, but that's the room that we're sitting in. Spoiler alert for the folks who can't see all of it on the internet. The room that I'm currently sitting in doing this podcast is exactly what I describe when I talk about wanting to have some kind of a theater room.
Well, we've used this as a theater room. You can see the projector.
Yeah,
up there.
No, it'd be perfect.
But it's, but I wanted, like, man, I wanted, like, to paint the walls red and to do everything, like, do it up. Yeah. Well, because I feel like there's a part of me that grew out of that need to do that, because I have my 86-inch TV now, and so I've kind of like I the technology outpaced my desire to have that necessarily.
I can get the same
thing in the same space that I'm already existing in.
I
feel like going to a theater room, I'd have to, like, it'd almost be like making an appointment to be somewhere.
So Rick's basement at one point was essentially what we're describing. And it was the closest thing that I could be a part of building that was what I wanted for myself.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of a hot dog shaped room. And at the end of it was where the projector screen hung down and the projector hung down. And he and, if I remember right, it was him and his friend Brett built wooden risers for the couches so that there was an entire row of seating in the back and then a row of seating in front of it that
was
just like a theater.
Yeah.
The couch sat on wood, which had a walkway in front of it so you could get to your seat. And then there was a couch on the ground floor in front of it. Then there was a recliner and another seat. And it was having done that and having that set up, expanding on it. I enjoyed that so much that expanding on it and doing like what you're talking about, like you don't paint the walls black. You paint the walls a dark color.
Right.
But you hang curtain like what's behind me here that's black that can be moved aside. You set up your literal tiered seating so that you can comfortably house 8 to 10 people without people falling on top of each other. And it, you know, you have your projector, you have your screen, because the stuff that they have to do that is nice enough now.
It's actually way more accessible now than it was when I initially had the idea.
Oh yeah.
And I think, you know, I guess here's where my head is on it. If I was empty nested, like if we never had kids and that was the only thing I had to like think about doing, then I might have done it.
Yeah.
But then kids kind of like I don't fault my kids for getting in the way of my theater, my home theater plans.
Well, yeah.
But had we not had kids, then my priorities would not have been quite the same.
You have other things to spend your money on, yeah. But no, it's something that I've always wanted to have, because there are a lot of things that you can install in your house that are gathering tools. Like, oh, we'll get 4 or 5 friends to come over and barbecue. We'll get 4 or 5 friends to come over and swim in the pool. We'll get 4 or 5 friends to come over and do this or that. Having that kind of a setup is something that you can use whether you have friends over or not. It's an investment you can make into your home that if you're somebody, and again, it's, you gotta be,
I think it depends on the person.
You gotta be somebody who really enjoys it. If you're somebody who really likes sitting down and watching movies and shit regularly, then it's a worthwhile investment for you. It's something you're going to use.
Well, I could see it having it as a, I guess more of a theme into what you're like, basically building it into your life. You would make the time to be like, okay, it's movie night. We're going to go sit in the theater and watch a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, and then then you're more, I guess, committed or beholden to what you've chosen to watch.
Yeah.
Whereas with the way things are now, you can bail on it at any time with streaming. And so it makes it hard to, I guess it makes it hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea a little bit.
I'm not one to bail,
because when you go to the theater, you're like, I'm paying for a ticket to this.
I'm not one to bail, though. Like, honestly.
I know. Really, yeah, you're right or die on it.
If I push play, generally speaking, I'm not checking out.
Yeah. Usually I'll turn to like Nicole or something, and I'll be like, does this do anything for you?
Not to say that I won't.
And then if we're in agreement, then we'll turn it off. But usually, most of the time, if something's not doing it for us, it's typically a TV show, not necessarily a movie. Or like a true crime episode of a Dateline or something along those lines. I'm like, I don't like this.
We'll get those. We'll be watching that, like, Who the Fuck Did I Marry? Or, you know, something.
Like, expecting something more from it. I'm like, this one's
kind of stupid. Can we? Yeah. Like, yeah. I get that.
But go back to your Breaking Bad thing.
I'm almost done with my rewatch, and no spoilers, please, because she's...
Oh, Tori hasn't watched?
Okay, so she... Let me see if I can talk about this without being spoilery. I don't know if she's watching currently. There's only one person. I don't know if it's her because I told her that we were going live. So the episode where Walt gets taken out to the buried money with the white supremacists.
Yes.
And Jesse is in the custody of Gomez and Hank.
You're right, right, right. Uh-huh.
That's the episode that she fell asleep during last night because it was way too late. And there was no, she was like, I want to watch more. And I was like, no, honey, I know you want to watch more, but you're tired. You're going to fall asleep.
This is a stopping point.
You should really not fall asleep. You need to just, and she was, yeah.
Yeah, so, how do you not spoil it without spoil, like obviously at that point she's like, oh, something big is going to happen here.
Yeah. Well, and she already knew that.
Right.
But I have this thing, and I've never noticed it about myself before, and I don't know if it's just a Breaking Bad thing, but she had never seen the show, and it was several weeks ago now, but I think we were laying on my couch. We might have been sitting in her bed. We were snuggling wherever we were. And I loaded up Netflix and was clicking through, and I scrolled past Breaking Bad as like a popular on Netflix or something like that. And excuse me. And made the comment that I was like, man, it's been couple years since I've rewatched this show, and I've actually only ever watched the final season, season 5. I only ever watched it once.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, I'm about due for a rewatch on this.
I've done that on shows where I've rewatched and I don't quite get through.
Well, I started watching the show when season 2 was airing, so I did some catch up, and then I watched season 3, and then between season 3 and season 4, I rewatched, and between season 4 and season 5, I rewatched, and I had more time back then.
Yeah.
But I had only ever seen season 5 once, and I was commenting that I was due to rewatch it, and she made the comment about how she'd never seen it. And I was like, wait, what? Like, really? And she's like, yeah. And so I just pushed play and away we went.
It's like, I guess we're doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. Now she's at the point where she will actively tell me during the show, she's like, you know, this is a really great show and I really love it and I really enjoy it, but it's really upsetting and it gives me a lot of anxiety. And I probably could have gone my whole life without dealing with the emotions that the show makes me feel. And I kind of hate you for it. Like, she's really upset about how humanizing it is that you have these people who are, because she keeps, bless her heart, she keeps talking about, at one point she was talking about Jesse, at one point she was talking about Walt. But she'll make these points about the characters that are valid. They're a 100% accurate.
Oh yeah.
Like,
assessment
of the character, but it completely and utterly disregards the fact that they're skeevy, meth dealing, murderous monster people. And she gets really bent out of shape about that because she's like, they're bad people.
These are people I would not associate with in real life.
She gets so mad because she's like, these are not, I, they're, I should not feel bad for these people at fucking all.
Right.
And I do. And God damn it. And she gets really bent out of shape about it. It's kind of funny. And she...
Well, and there's a point in the series you root for Walt.
There are a few.
I stopped rooting for Walt later in the series. I'd say after season four.
I can't remember the
timeline exactly, but
it was around the end of season three, beginning of season four, that I really started to turn on Walt.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere in that. I'd have to rewatch to see what.
And by season five, you flat out.
Yeah,
like you're compelled to watch, but you really you borderline hate him.
You're hoping that everybody else is okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically,
there's been so many countless times where we'll be watching the show and Tori will say something like, man, poor Jesse, man, poor Hank, and I always go back to poor anybody that has to deal with Walter.
Oh yeah.
Like it just, what was it that I said to her? It was, at the end of the, you know, they split season five into two halves. And at the end of the first half is when Hank picks up the book while he's taking a dump and sees the thing from Gale and puts two and two together and realizes that it's Walt. And she was like, oh my God. And I was like, what about the last like 40 episodes made you think that things were going to end on a happy note? Like, this is not going to go well.
It's one of the best shows out there. There's a handful of shows from the 2000s that are like my tops. That's one of them. Better Call Saul is another one.
Deadwood.
Right up there. Deadwood is Justified and Ozark.
I just couldn't get into it.
Really?
I don't know.
I'll tell you a story about Ozark for me. How long did you give it? Was it one episode?
No, I didn't finish the season, but I watched more than one episode.
See, I kept on fits and starts with the first episode because I'd start it, we'd get to the end, and I'd be tired. But when I finally got through the first season, like after I got like kicking through the first season, like I was hooked. And knowing that it's got a final date with these shows, knowing that there's a finish line in mind, it always feels good. It feels bad in a way because you're like, I like that show, but at the same time, it's like, but they're gonna finish it, and it's gonna end, like they're looking with a
one of the things
ending
that,
in mind
that benefited Breaking Bad so much was they had an end plan.
Yeah,
and it's good to know that Ozark has that, and it's funny. I know there are a lot of similarities between the shows, and I know that they are very different just from what I've seen.
Right.
I mean, there are a lot of surface level similarities, I guess you'd say. But I hate to overgeneralize, but from what I watched, it really just kind of reminded me of Breaking Bad, but with characters that I didn't connect with or care for.
Huh.
It was that same, you're taking these kind of everyday, but not necessarily everyday people and putting them in this really
toxic moral quandary.
But the first season is
hard to get you.
It may get better.
It does pick up, but at the same time, you know, many have made the argument that why are we waiting for something to pick up? Why doesn't it just start out good?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sometimes shows just have
a minute to find its footing.
That's true.
It's
Well, even Breaking Bad, that first episode, it's intriguing, but I don't know that if
it does enough to hook you, but it's not. It's
still a pilot episode.
Yeah, yeah. It's still the first like two or three episodes that really get you going.
Yeah.
And that's not even as bad.
Right.
As,
you're kind of still like, where is this even going? Like, what's going to happen? And then, like, for me, anytime I start a show, I'm like, is this going to get canceled? Like, because I've had too many shows start that get canceled that I'm like, I like this. Is this going to get canceled?
I have that problem, too. I don't think I've discussed it on the show yet, but What We Do in the Shadows. On FX.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was really stoked that they were making the show of it because I love the movie. If you've never seen the movie, it's a really, really fun and funny movie.
We've talked about this a little bit.
But they made the show, and I was really on the fence about it and was like, oh, it's – plus it's on FX, so
– right.
You know, it'll get its 13 episodes – maybe they'll pick it up for a second season.
Right.
But it's, how is it going to be able to capitalize on the success of the movie? It's a spinoff thing, blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And so I didn't watch it. And here, since I've been off work, I've had plenty of time. So I sat down and I binged it. And it is.
Is it good?
It is so, so funny. Like, so funny. Mark Hamill shows up at one point. There's a lot of really, really good guest spots. The entire premise of the three vampires who live in Staten Island is set up in the first episode when the, like, this ancient vampire lord that's played by Doug Jones, who's all done up and doing his creature feature shit that he always does, to reprimand them for not taking more of America than just Staten Island. And it just kind of escalates from there. And it's, yeah, man, there's many parts in the first couple seasons that are funnier than the movie.
And did it get canceled? And
no, it hasn't gotten canceled.
That's funny.
And that's one of the reasons.
Those are every once in a while, those ones will surprise you with that. Like, is this going to get canceled? And then it doesn't. But then there'll be the ones that are like,
for
you don't even invest in, like, that show's fucking Superstore. That's been on for like 15 years.
That show went as long as it did.
It's still on, I think, isn't
There's
it?
There's been multiple times
it's one
where I have been where like, I'm that like, show's that's still on?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's been like several years in between.
Right.
Like, really? That show is still? Because that show was starting when
The Office was
The
ending.
Office and Parks and Rec were ending.
Yeah. And I was like, this isn't going to take hold, because I was like, this is trying too hard to it felt too try hard to me.
It's a fucking show about people who work at Walmart. Nope.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, and it's still going.
Like you said, here we are 15 years later. And they're having their big wrap-up season with America Ferrera coming back to the show.
See, I didn't even know she left.
Didn't even know she left. Saw an article saying she was coming back, and it was like,
that is hilarious.
Didn't know she left. Never watched an episode of the show.
I watched really a funny. Couple episodes. It's not funny. Terrible, but it wasn't good. One that I was like. But the same thing with, I like Garrett Dillahunt a lot as an actor. He's a great character actor.
Yeah.
Raising Hope, what I've seen of it, because I tried watching it a bunch of it. I watched probably a season of it, but I can't keep coming. Like, it's one of those sitcoms that it's like, it's just never, too sitcom-y. I can't come back to it.
Never even seen an episode.
It's not terrible.
And
but
I
it's
like him.
But yeah, he's great.
But no, never.
But I'd rather see him. I'd rather see him play a bad guy,
or a badass,
or a badass. Yeah. Well, even in he's in Fear the Walking Dead.
Really?
Yeah, he comes like season 3 or 4.
Man, I checked out of that show so long ago.
Well, he's one reason to check back
like
in
all
initially.
The Walking Dead stuff, I guess I should say.
Yeah,
I keep hanging on, watching pieces here and there, but at like an aggressive pace.
Aren't they like making a movie with Rick?
Fuck, that was like 3 years ago now. That's what it feels like,
right?
To me.
I'm not hallucinating.
Yeah, like, he left the show.
Yeah.
And it was like, and there's going to be two movies. No, check that. I think it was like three movies or two. I don't know. There was two or three, but they were going to do movies. They're still going to do them.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't know what when and where.
Because I was.
They're going to do them. And
You. I swear it was like 2 or 3 years ago that I heard about this.
Yeah.
They were like, oh no, they're doing a story with Rick. They're bringing him back. And I'm like,
why? Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I like his acting. And is like, he's got an interesting arc right now. It's the problem with these.
Wasn't he like the supreme bad guy who killed good guy characters?
Yeah, that's the problem. Can I spoil something? Spoilers.
Oh, I don't care.
Right now, Maggie left for a season because she wanted to go be on that stupid show Whiskey Tango that didn't last. I don't know if it even lasted the whole season.
And that's
the actress Lauren Cohen. She left, and now she's back. And Negan is he's been helpful in a few episodes, and he like killed the leader of the Whisperers and got the other guy killed or whatever. So he's been instrumental in like being helpful to get some shit done and get their like course corrected. But Maggie left to go to a different compound of people or a different grouping of people. Now she's back. They've like reconvened, and then she sees Negan and he's like, "Hey, Maggie." And then she shoots him like the fucking evil eye because he like smashed her husband's skull in.
Crushed his fucking head.
So I don't know how you can unsee that and try, like, it's really hard to redeem his character.
Yeah. Especially because Glenn was one of the originals and one of the fan favorites.
Right. Like, that they almost killed like four times.
Yeah.
And then killed him.
Yeah, anyway, I
that was where I kind of started checking out on the show. Well, and then like I it's almost like a hate watch at this point.
So I watched, if I remember right, my mom was still watching the show. We watched the season premiere that they revealed that Negan killed Glenn. I think I watched one or two more episodes, and then I didn't watch any more for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And I came back and I watched the season finale, and I don't want to say nothing had changed, but I was able to, having watched the season premiere and the first couple episodes, I was able to have watched that and the previously on The Walking Dead.
And still keep up.
Yeah. Totally understood everything that happened in the finale. So I blew through like 12 episodes.
Yeah, it was maybe like if you watched while you were scrolling on your phone and you missed like a... You're like, who's that guy?
I
don't care. Yeah.
Like, wow, damn, I'm really happy.
No, I liked Walking Dead so much initially that like I made my dad... Like I was over visiting my dad one weekend, and I was like, let's watch The Walking Dead. And this was probably, we were in like season 3 or 4 at that point. And so we still had I was still riding high from Darabont's season, which was the first season was phenomenal.
It's up there in terms of seasons of a TV show. Like,
and
it's really, really good.
For a zombie television show. And then it became.
It's better than most zombie
movies. About the fans.
Yeah.
And about the special, like,
yeah,
like each episode, and the Chris Hardwick and his, Watching Dead or whatever. Talking Dead ruined the, I think it helped to ruin it, honestly.
I agree.
Because it made it about, like, Kill of the Week. And, you know, that kind of shit. And it's like, that's not what I was in. I was invested in this for the story. And now you're throwing the story away in favor of gimmicks and fucking zombie kills. And And they abandon half the rules that they set forth in that first season for convenience of moving the story along. Well,
that show is a show of convenience to move the story along.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's... And even, I mean, admittedly, as great as season one is, there are even parts in season one.
Oh yeah, there's still
that do that, but it's all in service of. But it's a trick.
You can still appreciate what's being done in season one.
It's a trick with telling stories in a zombie medium in the first place, and it's one of the reasons why I always wished that The Walking Dead. I get that it's based off of the comic, so it has its source material and it wasn't going to do it, but I'd really love to see it was something that the World War Z book did really, really effectively, is if you made a series like The Walking Dead where season one was season one of The Walking Dead, and then season two it turns itself into an anthology series, and you have, oh, well, here's a different story that's completely different of, you know, it's a totally different genre. It's season one was this cop guy waking up in Atlanta and trying to find fellow survivors and get himself to the CDC. Season two is like a almost action-y war-themed series based in the outskirts of New York City during the fall of civilization. Season three is a like action-based medical drama where they're discovering the birth of the disease. Like
Fear the Walking Dead, and that's what brought me back to that show. It did for at least two seasons where they had like theme seasons that were based.
Don't do an overarching story. Build a world,
right,
and then each thing fits into it.
Yeah,
it would make a lot more sense. You could do a lot with it. There's a lot less constraints in terms of
right.
storytelling. And I never understood. There still hasn't been a good television series that's tackled zombie stuff that way.
No.
It'd be nice.
Yeah. I would think that there's room for it. I think we're going to need to like cleanse our palate a bit after The Walking Dead finally gets off the
I'm amazed the page. At how many people still watch it.
The
numbers are way down comparatively to where they
used to be.
I mean, that's to be expected, but
if it's like it was appointment television for me for a long time, like Sunday nights, that's why I got to watch The Walking Dead. And I'm not current with the most current season, and when they air, I just kind of watch casually. Like I used to like be like, okay, we got to like set aside time. Like here's dinner, and now we're watching The Walking Dead.
And I was never like that, but it's clear from the numbers alone that
people were
a lot of people that were like a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it ran
ratings.
It was like watch it like setting like people do with Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
But
bigger.
On a larger scale.
It was bigger.
Well, and that Darabont season was a solid hook season as far as like the performances he got out of people, the cinematography was great. The trailer was fantastic.
The black and white version that they have on the Blu-ray is really cool.
Is it?
Yeah, it's neat. It's there's not a lot of things that lend themselves to black and white, like Justice League.
No,
does not.
Right?
No, not at all. The black and white Snyder cut is no
good.
that movie is colorfully drab enough. It doesn't need to be full blown black and white desaturated. The Benicio del Toro Wolfman movie The one with Anthony Hopkins and Emily.
Oh, uh huh.
That is a really great one to watch in black.
In black and white.
Yeah.
I could see that.
It almost looks like it was made to be that way.
To me,
it's really, really, it's really sweet. I've been thinking about watching Godzilla versus Kong.
We watched it.
In black and white.
Oh, in black. Is there a black and white option, or do you just change your color? No, you just
set the coloring on your TV. But
you're crazy, man.
No. It's
that's actually a cool idea.
Sometimes it really does.
When you said that about the Snyder Cut, I was like, did they put out a black and white version? No, you just adjusted your color settings, huh?
They allegedly did. I've never been able to get it to pull up on HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
It was apparently it's supposed to be out, but I didn't watch the whole movie, to be fair. I didn't subject myself to the full 4 hours again.
Oh, right.
But I kind of skipped around
to parts,
just watched little bits of it here and there.
How does this part look in black and white?
Yeah, it's but again, it's a especially the fight at what would be like the part one break.
Oh, uh-huh.
Fighting Steppenwolf inside the ship.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much mishmash. It's
yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it doesn't work in black and white. I don't understand. But no, it's one that I've been meaning to go back and watch. Actually, I wonder if she'd want to watch it tonight. I don't know if she's watching.
Tori, what's that?
Are you watching? I really want to watch the Suspiria remake.
Oh.
That I was talking to you guys about on the last show.
Yeah.
It's been really, ever since we were talking about it, it's been itching at me.
You know, something I vowed to rewatch multiple times that I think I've only maybe rewatched once is Sin City.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of those ones where I just
the sequel, which is not something I do regularly.
Right, we were just talking about you see things through.
I turned off the sequel, but no, I love the first Sin City. It's great.
Oh no, I think it's fantastic. I don't even think I watched the sequel, if I'm being completely honest.
It's oof.
She says yes.
She says yes to watching Suspiria. I'm confused.
All right, peeps, didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time.